Just before Easter, we did a short series, some of you may recall it, based upon the letter sayings it found in Hebrews chapter 10. Let me recall the words, it reminds you of the words that we reflected on over those 5 weeks. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In that five-week period, one of the themes we picked up was that verse in verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And then we discussed that in our groups, and as we discussed that as leaders, it became clear that actually we need to do a little bit more work on that, what it is for us to understand our hope as Christians. What is it that we have hope in? Where is our hope? And so this series was born out of that. We've considered over these recent weeks the descriptions of hope that we have in the New Testament. Our hope is a living hope linked to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because it's rooted in the fact of history that Jesus Christ rose again. Better hope. The new way that we have now through Jesus is better than the old way. We have a new way that's been opened for us through the curtain that is his body. An unseen hope. When all around us is hidden, our hope is not seen, it's not visible, it's not there to the human eye, because it's rooted in faith. It's a faith step. But our faith is rooted also, our hope is rooted in the fact that we are adopted into God's family, brought into the kingdom of God, God's Son whom he loves. But we can't see it. We can't physically see it. You know, if your hope is in your bank account, you can see the numbers going up or down. But our hope is unseen. But it is eternal. Linked to the idea and rooted in the idea that one day, yes, as Christ has died and rose again, one day he's coming back and we are going to have to spend eternity with him. What does that look like? What does that mean for us? To know that we are his forever. Blessed. These are the themes that we've been looking at. And recently, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this great trilogy of faith, hope, and love, and how they connect together. As we have reflected on these teachings, we have seen, I hope, and if you're not, perhaps you need to go back and watch them again, how amazing our hope is. How fantastic it is. But the writer makes it quite clear to us that it's a hope that we need to hold unswervingly to. It's a hope that we need to profess. We need to talk about it. And just so we understand that message, God gives that same message to another New Testament writer to record for us. So we get it from Peter as well, and we're going to read those words now from 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Peter says that we should be prepared to give an answer to what? For the hope that we have. And we're going to look at that together this morning, just to round this series off. And again, if you need to, go back and watch some of the previous material to remind you of the amazing hope that is ours. The first thing I want us to notice is, and this is our key verse for 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The first thing we need to notice is that our hope is something that transcends our circumstances. See, the context of Peter's words here were people causing us harm for doing good. People taking it out on us when we do good. I was reminded, as I was preparing this, of last week and Shane Claiborne, what he was saying with us at the Baptist Assembly. And again, if you missed that, you can access that material on YouTube. Go watch, you know, the Friday night and the Sunday morning again. Shane was talking to us and challenging us about what it is perhaps to be holy troublemakers, those who stand up for truth and justice in a world. And yes, we might get some collateral damage on that. We might get bad reputations or bad names. People might treat us differently. But when we're standing and fighting for what is true and what is right and what is just, that is us doing God's work. And these words from 1 Peter chapter 3 speak right into the heart of that. There are times when we need to stand up for what is true, for what is just. We need to stand up for the oppressed and for the broken. We need to challenge the systems. We need to challenge where people are being abused because of the systems and because of what's around. Our place is to be prophetic, to be the voices that hold those people to account. But Peter tells us, doesn't he, how we do that. He says, do it with gentleness, with respect, and keeping a clear conscience. That's our guide. Yes, there may be times where we need to be verbal and we need to demonstrate and we need to act. But we do it with a clear conscience, we do it with gentleness, with respect. Our motivation is not to pursue an agenda, it's to care for those who are downtrodden, as Jesus would want us to do. But how does this affect our hope? You know, the fact is, through this process, our hope should shine through. See, our hope is not based on anything about us. It's not based on anything that this world can offer. It's not based on the kind of church that we attend or the kind of service that we watch. It's not based on whether the sun is shining or not. It's not based on whether everything is good or, as we're going to sing a little bit later, at all as it should be. Our hope is in fact based and rooted on the fact that Jesus Christ came back from the dead. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter how people treat us, no matter what happens, unless they might take advantage of us, they might treat us differently because we are doing good. But no matter what they do to us, our God is unchanging. Our hope is unchanging. And for those who have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, who know God as their Father, who have the Holy Spirit living within them, things do not change. That is our confidence. That is our hope. That is what we're rooted in. So when things go wrong, when people talk badly about us, when we walk through the valley, even this valley of the shadow of death, our hope is that we will one day be on the mountaintop. And as we've been seeing over recent weeks, you know, when we get to that mountaintop with Jesus, with God our Father, we will be there forever. That's an eternal promise. And so along with the prophet Habakkuk, we can say, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. Our hope transcends our circumstances. And that's something for us to declare, that's something for us to shout about, that's something for us to profess. The amazing part of this, when we allow that truth to take hold of our lives, it will start to permeate everything that we do. And people will notice. And we'll come to that a little bit later. See, notice what Peter tells his readers, that, and that includes us today, that when we start living right, when we start doing the right thing, when we start enacting how God wants us to live, people will want to know why. They want to know what is different about us. They want to know why you're different. Why you can be joyful when all of this stuff around us is not quite right. They want to know that, and so they'll ask you. And at that point, we need to be ready to give an answer to those people that ask us. Actually, it's a marker of how much we allow God to invade our lives and to allow these truths to invade our lives is how often people ask us these questions, how often people notice that we're different. When we allow God's truths to grab hold of us and to shape us and to change us, it affects how people see us and perceive us and understand us. And yes, there will always be those people that will take advantage, that will harm us for doing good. But people will notice, and there will be other people that will want to know what is different about you. Why? Why are you able to rejoice when the vines are empty, when the fig tree doesn't bud, when the sheepfold is empty? Why are you able to rejoice when you're going through a really tough time, when you're sick, when your family is struggling? Why? What is different about you? Why is that? It's because our hope is not based upon our circumstances. It transcends our circumstances. What I also want you to know is this truth. And it's a truth that we can miss because of how it's written in this text. But it's a hope that you have. This is what Peter says. He asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. You see, hope isn't something that we have to strive to get. It's not like a grade that we have to achieve. It's not something that we earn in time. The truth is, the moment that you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the moment that you enter into that relationship with His Father and our Father through Jesus, the moment that you have the Spirit come and live within you, you become a child of God. And as a child of God, you have this hope. Fact, truth. And this truth, if we allow it to, it impacts our lives, that we have this hope already, this hope that is better and living and eternal and unseen and blessed. This hope that is ours, it is ours, and we have it. Do you understand that? Do you recognize that? Do you really grasp that? That you already have this hope in your lives. As we read the Old Testament story, one of the things we see time and time again is that the Israelite nation, bringing alongside their worship of Yahweh, worship of other gods. It's this dual emphasis. They kind of want to cover all bases. And so they worship Yahweh, but they also worship Baal or Asher or the other gods around. And so Elijah calls them out and he says to them, decide who you're going to worship. If God is God, worship Him. But if Baal is God, worship Him. And time again, as you read through the Old Testament, God's people are called to account and called to make a choice. That problem, which is an Old Testament problem, and it's a biblical problem, is a problem of 21st century Christians as well. For far too many of us, we want what God wants to give us, but we also want what the world wants. And that comes into this context of hope. Our hope, yes, is in God and in Christ. We understand that, we get that, we hear that, but also we want to have our hope in our pension scheme or in the property that we own or don't, or in the size of our bank balance, or in our relationships, or in good health, or in a reputation, in promotion at work. And so we talk the language, but actually the way that we live our lives indicates that there is another agenda, that we are not fully committed to this idea of our hope being in God and in Christ alone. For far too many of us, our hope is, yes, in Christ, but it's also in all those other things. We trust God, and we say that, but actually we also trust whether we've got a pension or whether we've got money in the bank. You know, I see it and I hear it time and time again with Christians. It is such a difficult path to walk, to fully trust God, to fully have our hope completely in Him alone. Because the world cries at us that we should have other things. The world cries at us that we should have our hope in these other things too. And we have to be sensible and we have to be wise. And I'm not saying we don't throw that away. So we do need to make sure we provide for ourselves. But if the fig tree doesn't bud, if the cattle are not there, if those things are not there, it tends to rock our confidence, doesn't it? It tends to rock our faith. When we go through a time when we're ill and we face illness, it undermines our hope and our confidence in who God is. And that's an indicator to us that our hope isn't in Christ alone. That our hope is in Christ, plus it's in our good health. You know, the hope that we have here is ours. We don't have to earn it. We just need to accept it, embrace it, allow it to permeate our lives, allow it to hold us when all around us is changing, when all around us is uncertain. It's the thing which is ours and cannot be taken from us. And that leads us on to the last point. The hope that we have should have arms and legs. I want to undermine this and underline this for us as we close. So we are living in a world that is deprived of hope. Now, the pandemic has deprived and robbed some of us of our health. It's robbed some of the people in our communities of financial security. For others, it has destroyed any aspirations they had for their future. For some, it's destroyed and robbed us of family members. But if we leave aside for a moment the last 14 months of the pandemic and look at the world without that perspective, we're facing a world that is dealing with issues of racial injustice at a global level. The increasing climate emergency we face. In our own country, issues of Brexit and what that means for businesses and what it means for working out that in reality. Changes in political powers. You know, we look at that, you know, that's from Myanmar on one side to the US another. Right across the spectrum, political powers that have changed. Turmoil within governments. The rising tensions in Palestine and Israel. You look at the world and we go, where is our hope? And that's without talking about the pandemic and COVID-19. And so as we look at our world and as we look at how all of this impacts our world, it breeds fear and anxiety and uncertainty, and it just leaves people without any sense of hope for tomorrow. What's the point in building up a large bank balance and a large pension fund when actually we may not have a world to live in 50 years' time because of what we're going through, because of how the world is destroying itself, because of climate change and all the rest? There is this sense, growing sense of hopelessness in our world. But as Christ's followers, as those who follow Jesus Christ, as those who are committed to Him, those who have His Spirit living within us, we have a hope. We have been given this hope. And our world is crying out and is desperate to see that hope. We need to allow this hope to have arms and legs. We need to allow it to be embodied in us. So that as we walk through this world, as we rub shoulders with people, they will see that hope in us and they will want to know the reason for that hope. As we're looking at Frinton Free Church, this vision they've got to be a beacon of hope for their community, a hub of hope for their community. Each and every Christian should be a hub of hope for their street, for their neighborhood, for their workplace. Because we have this hope. We have it already. And when we allow it to permeate our lives, it will be seen and evidenced and noticed. People will understand that we're not thrown off track because the sun doesn't shine. We're not thrown off, you know, our perspective, our vision, our journey with God. Because there's a tough moment, because there's a day that's difficult. Because our hope is not in those circumstances. It's not based upon the things of this world. Our hope is in God and in Him alone. Our hope is not some fantasy, some dream, some future aspiration. Our hope is secure. Yes, it is future, has a future angle to it, and it's eternal. But it is rooted in the here and now too. We can experience it and live it now. This is a hope that we profess. It's something that we hang on to and hold on to. When everything around us is shifting, have we got this hope? Do we allow, and have we allowed this hope to really impact our lives, to permeate how we live our lives? That's the challenge for me. It's the challenge for you. We have it already because we come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. He gives it to us there and then. The question is, are we allowing it to impact how we live? That when we have a bad day at the office, when our health fails, when something impacts our relatives and our families, does it shake our confidence in who God is? Because that is the eternal truth. That is unshakable. That does not change. And so again, with Habakkuk, we can say, though things are tough, though it hasn't worked out, yet still I will worship Him. I will rejoice in God. On this Pentecost Sunday, I want to pray God's blessing upon you using the words that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He said this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That's my prayer for you, for myself, for each one watching this. That as we allow God to impact our lives, as we allow Him, His Spirit to fill us again, this hope that we have will overflow in our lives. And people will want to know. Will want to know the reason for the hope that we have. A hope that we can profess. We're going to close by singing the song, "Blessed Be the Lord." It reminds us that we sing and we worship Him when the land is plentiful, when it's all as it should be, but also when things are tough, when we're in the valley and in the desert place. He is still worthy to be praised. As with Habakkuk, we can still rejoice in who our God is and the hope that we have. Let's worship together.